You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to Inside Leverage, your gateway to the fascinating realm of the Miami Dolphins. Join us as we delve deep into the team's dynamic Super Bowl journey. We invite you to share your most scorching takes, unwind, and relish in our captivating experience. Tonga Bailoa,
blocked by Armstead, going deep, he's got him, he's got him!
Let's go. What's going on, everybody?
What's going on, family? Hey, appreciate you guys joining us tonight.
Yeah.
How are we feeling, boys?
Man, we're getting closer to the draft.
A lot of things to talk about.
We're at a club or something, all this music and stuff. Like,
Hey, man, listen.
What's wrong with that?
It's the weekend somewhere.
Come on, man. We're going to talk football. We're going to dance. You figure it out. I'm so tired of you.
You know, people just don't know how to multitask.
I'm here with the Google takes.
Listen. We're gonna do this quick tonight because we got our guest. He's already backstage. Already sat in the makeup chair and is all ready to go. I want everybody to give a warm welcome to the one and only Jordan.
Yo, Jordan, what up, my guy?
The music before just gets you amped. It feels like,
Hey, did it not do the job or what? Did it not do the job?
It does do the job.
Don't enable him.
Dermay up, coach. Dermay up. All right, so. Whoever's out there doesn't know who Jordan is, he's gonna have his opportunity now. Jordan, why don't you let everybody know who you are, you know, what you're up to, like who do you contribute to? The floor is yours.
So I'm the head of college football DFS is what I'll be doing this upcoming season with Roto Grinders. You can find my content over on Twitter at Jordan Vanek DFS. Name mainly breakdown receivers. That's usually where the realm of what my expertise is. It was early on to Tank Dell last year, been early on to the Miami offense 2 years ago with Mike McDaniel coming over, had a lot of Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and made a decent amount of money during that Ravens game just 2 years ago. So you can find me on Twitter, Jordan Vanek DFS.
Jordan.
Yes.
Man.
Hey, y'all seen his microphone? Hold on. Y'all seen French's microphone?
I think he's trying to take my job or something.
Wow,
I don't know.
Look at him, the fake DJ.
Jordan, I want to jump in. Well, welcome to the show. Let's start. Who's your team? I hear you're a Panther fan.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers is where I'll be rooting for, the team I've been with since I was can never remember. I think it was like 2002, 2003. The Panthers were playing the Jags. I kept saying go cat team, and my dad didn't know what cat I was rooting for. It was the Jaguars Panthers. And he decided whoever won that game was going to be my, like, you'd buy me stuff for. And that's just exactly how I became a Panthers fan.
Okay. Well, we got a guy who left his team via free agency, since we're talking free agency, a little bit of draft. Rob Hunt. How are you guys feeling about that acquisition? You know, paid a healthy penny for that protection.
Oh, interior offensive line. We needed. We gave up 28 sacks between the guard and center last season, or guard to guard last season. The next closest team was the Giants, who we know, bad offensive line, at 23. There were, I think, 11 or 13 teams under 5. We gave up 28. It was a very, very bad interior offensive line. And if you think of when Breeze was at his best, that Saints offensive line interior was a bunch of studs. So I'm hoping Robert Hunt is as advertised as he was this past year in Miami, and that it gives Bryce Young a lot more time to be able to throw the football.
Go ahead, McKenna.
No, I was just agreeing. Certainly does. It's just like Tua. He needs an interior line to allow him to step up. My bad, French. That's what I wanted to say.
No. I was just going to say, with Rob Hunt and making that acquisition, how do you think this kind of posture you guys, you know, to make that next jump, you know, what do you think that kind of lines you guys up with?
I think, to me, the offseason that Dan Morgan's had, he's cleaned out a lot of what we made mistakes on. Like, we gave up Brian Burns for basically free, considering we were offered 2 firsts and a second from the Rams just 2 years ago. We ended up giving him up for a second, which kind of sucked, but is at the same time, that's what his value is when you're 1 year away from paying him $30+ million a year. So it's kind of like, that's where that was at. And then the rest of the offseason, I've been very happy. It's just going to come down to, do we get the receiver right at 33 or 37? Those are the two opportunities we have. I love this class. It's going to take a lot for them to not make a pick I would like. But right now I'm staring at 33 and 37 and like, all right, Dan, you have to get that right. You can't afford to give Bryce Young just Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, and expect him to go be a great quarterback next year and kind of right the wrongs of the past year.
Well, give me your top five guys right now at the wide receiver class that you project to be like studs, or give me maybe two or three guys that are guys that nobody's talking about towards the end of the, you know, but are gonna pop on the scene.
Yeah. So for me, Malachi Corley. I know he ran the gimmick offense at Western Kentucky. Everybody's worried about if he can truly run a full route tree, all that other nonsense. I watched him at the Senior Bowl. I got to see him up close in person. He's got enough wiggle to him that I enjoy to expect that he can be a Debo Samuel-esque weapon on the offensive side of the ball, where you can just give him a screen and he can go. Roman Wilson is under talk just because of the way Michigan's offense was. Those are two guys that I wouldn't mind at like 37, maybe even the third. I would not want to take them over some of the guys I think will be there at 33. In particular, it's a homegrown kid in Xavier Legette. I know everybody's afraid of the late breakout. He's a fifth-year senior, but I think it was Brett Coleman posted a story of like what this kid's had to go through. And then I got to see him up close in the Senior Bowl. he was playing through, like, going practicing with, like, a calf strain and something else, trying to show, like, he can do it, and was still winning pretty consistently. And you have a 4'3", 6', 220-pound receiver. I think he's not A.J. Brown, but I think if you pair him with a Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen, it's like these are two receivers that can develop him and what let him learn from and be able to become, hopefully, an A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf-level player.
So if I can expound on French's question. So among those receivers or your top five or top 10, who do you feel fits best for this offense, the Mike McDaniel offense?
So, I mean, you saw how big of a smile he had when he was shaking Xavier Worthy's hand. You add another, you make Jaylen Waddle your fifth fastest player or skill player, I should say, on an offensive football field. With Mike McDaniel's creativity, that's just terrifying. I know Brian Thomas is one that he makes a lot of sense just because he gives you a dimension that you guys haven't had. But it's also the standpoint of, is it a dimension that you need? And also, I don't know if he's going to pass a team like Indianapolis at 15 who desperately needs to upgrade Alec Pierce's role in the offense where Brian Thomas can fit in. I'd say the third player, if I had to pick anybody outside of Worthy and Brian Thomas, honestly, Ladd McConkey. Like, dude who can get open, separate with ease. He's got great hands, the anticipation throws that Tua wants to make. You have three guys in that offense that do it at a very, very high level. Ladd would be, I guess, like the third option for me.
Go ahead, Wally.
Hey, man, I was just about to say the kid from Georgia, but in the same realm, you could get value with Roman Wilson in the same position as well. So I think to me this year it's like one of the deepest wide receiver class. But I like Xavier Leggett. I think I love what he does. I like Javon Baker. So I know you mentioned that the speed or whatnot, but I think those two kids, and they have this dynamic that you can't write on paper. Javon Baker high points the ball. And it's impressive, and I think he's the kid that hasn't had really consistent quarterback play. The same thing with Leggett, so there's so much to untap there. What are your feels about those guys being in this offense?
So to give you a little bit more background, I was a player personnel intern at University of Central Florida, so very familiar with Baker when some of the stuff that was going on with him transferring from Alabama to UCF, and then the pairing, the fit, everything going on from there. So with Baker's game, the contested catch ability is insane. He adapts to every single ball thrown, whether it's out of his reach or just whatever. He kind of has like a Mike Williams-esque like knack to do those little things that contort his body and make plays. But the one thing I would say for him that worries me in this particular offense is, like, is he going to really produce? Like, Mike McDaniel's made it clear it's the running game, with the just home run plays of Mostert and Achan, and then it's getting the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. So with Baker, it's going to come down to, like, hey, are you going to be comfortable being a three in this offense, maybe even a fourth in touches, and then are you a blocker? Are you doing those little things? Because the bigger bodied receiver, I think that's going to be the first question that Mike McDaniel's got to have with these guys, where if you get another Xavier Worthy, it's like, hey, how are you going to defend this? Like, your hamstrings for your DBs better be intact, because guarding 3-4-2 level speed wide receivers, I can't imagine what that looks like at the next level, but I'm expecting Mike McDaniel to be jumping at the bits for that type of pick.
So where we are as far as prospects that stood out to you the most at the Senior Bowl?
Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall, to me, I've got him as the number 6 receiver in this class, ahead of Keon Coleman, ahead of Troy Franklin, A.D. Mitchell. I know A.D. Mitchell's really, really good. I know that he has a lot of potential. I wouldn't be like, oh, wow, that's a bad pick if a team picked him over Ricky Pearsall. But if you watch Ricky Pearsall play football, he's able to identify coverages to kind of stop his routes where it's like, hey, I'm open now. Or the ability for him, where the contested catch ability is insane. some of the catches he made this past year at Florida are arguably the best I've ever seen in college or football, up there with like a Tyron Pro throw over the back catch. I think Riley Ridley had a ridiculous one against Tennessee, but you saw Pearsall catch it like over his body and just take a shot right in the middle of the chest and still just hang on to it. At the Senior Bowl, the only corner that I believe gave him issues was Quinyon Mitchell, but obviously Quinyon Mitchell might be cornerback one in this draft class, so it's not really that concerning. Ladd obviously stood out just from the separation ability. Roman Wilson, it was so strange watching him because, like, you don't see someone that's 4.2 fast. You don't see someone that's bigger. You don't see someone that's, like, shiftier than everybody. But every single play, it felt like he was getting open. Like, he just kind of had a knack to, like, find the soft spot, be able to just separate horizontally. So I'd say those three would be the three main ones that stood out to me the most. I know Leggett, again, like I said, he was injured during it, so he pulled himself out of competition after he, I think he hurt his foot, but for the most part, he was also dominating.
Hey, I don't know how to ask this next question without being ostracized by the group. I'm a bit of a polarizing character within this clan at times. Yeah, let me ask
your own beat. You do whatever you want.
In the mansion that Stephen Ross built with a bunch of Lamborghinis and Ferraris, when I start bringing up the concept of a dually, they start, why do you want that big gas guzzler? When you talk about that Florida State wide receiver, what's his name, Johnny Wilson, what round do you think he go? I phrased the point of taking if he is there in the later rounds to where, okay, here's me with the dip on my chip. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Will you get a worthy? And depending on where he falls in the draft, you can come back and depending on if he gets – I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but where do you think he gets drafted at? Because I like the concept of taking somebody like that and putting them at tight end within the system, and now you're just talking about mismatch overload because you gotta outscore these teams.
So with Johnny Wilson – it was at the Senior Bowl, he dealt with so many drops. I have no idea what was going on with his hands, but when he was playing out wide, it felt like he couldn't catch a football. But then he moved into the slot and he looked comfortable. He looked like, okay, like you see why he's 6'7" and teams like a lot of things about him. My biggest thing with him is like, yeah, he's big. Yes, he's got some, you know, ability, but what is his role and does it equate to what you want for your draft capital? Like, I don't think he wants to play tight end. He refused to do drills at tight end at the Senior Bowl. So that kind of tells you like, hey, I'm playing receiver. And then it's like, okay, well, if you're going to play receiver and you don't want to play out wide, so now you're going to play in the slot, that's where Tyreek Hill and kind of Waddle are just living. I think Miami could possibly take him in the 5th, 6th, but I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going to end up being an early day 3 pick for a team that's kind of got a role of like, hey, this is how we're going to use him in our offense. This is what we're looking for. But for Miami, it's like, he's big. He's got the size, but is he going to be doing the little things that help everybody else? And I don't know if he would be willing to do that in this offense.
So I don't want him then.
I mean, I think the Florida State receiver you should be considering is Keon Coleman. Everybody freaks out about that 4.6, but I can't. I hate that, the 40. I can't stand it.
Okay, we'll buy another Lambo.
You got another question, French? We good? You got
no. Listen, when the gavel's up and I smack the gavel, I'm done. Once the gavel gets smacked, we're done.
That's a gimmick. Go ahead, Coach. If you have a question.
Thank you. Now that I have permission to speak, I'm
thank you. I apologize.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Jeez.
So, Jordan, one of the guys that I was doing some light research on was the Alabama guy, Burton. I know he had some off the field issues and maturity issues reportedly. Do you have any opinions on him either way?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oh, he's just a kind of a deep threat. I honestly feel like his role in the NFL will be like a wide receiver four, where it's just he gets on the field, his opportunities just clear out defenses. Honestly, similar to what Robbie Anderson was asked to do of Miami this past year, or Robbie Chosen. I have chosen Anderson. I can't remember his name. For the life of me, everybody knows what I'm talking about. But
yeah, exactly.
Burton, he's got like, what's the word I want to use? He's not. I've watched a ton of Alabama receivers. I'm an Alabama fan, so like I've watched everybody come through. I expected a lot more from him the year he had with Bryce Young, and it just never was there. And then this past year, he flashed down the field, but I don't think any of the Alabama receivers were truly NFL talent at the moment.
Appreciate
so
it.
This goes great. Like, I feel like every question you guys have asked segues to my question, because
thank you so great. So great. I'm glad we're doing it.
It's a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
So Jordan, walk with me as I pull a French real quick. So I was talking to our fellow Fins community, and we were talking about the type of third option receiver that we were looking for, correct? So I made the opinion that I think we need to find a guy that's a third option, but eventually can be a number two, number one, 1A, 1B, however you want to look at it. But not only that, but also be a little versatile as far as being a boundary and a slot receiver. That helps Tyreek and Waddle now, and it can make us continue to be versatile for the future when we have to re-sign Waddle to a new deal. Tyreek is on his merry way, hopefully, with a Super Bowl ring, and we have a rookie who is experienced in different positions of the line. Do you agree, and who is a guy, in your opinion, in your top five, that fits that mold?
So I think, yes, playing inside out every single, like Mike McDaniel especially wants that. Like, he wants someone that is comfortable playing in the slot, comfortable playing out wide. Because again, you see your motions. Tyreek Hill lines up at tight end occasionally. It worked against the Broncos where nobody was guarding him. They had no idea how to handle this motion. So the first thing I think Mike McDaniel's looking at is your horizontal speed. That's like, can you play inside out? Of course. But then are you fast horizontally? Like, I don't care necessarily your straight line speed, because that's not the throw I'm asking to make. Can you run a slant extremely fast? So in the player that actually was one of the fastest in route running this past year was Keon Coleman. I think his top speed on the slant was like 18 miles an hour or something crazy. I know his 4.6 40 scares everybody. I know he's a bigger body dude. Everybody's afraid of, can he separate? I see plenty of separation on his film. I see plenty of windows for a quarterback to throw the ball. But Jordan Travis is just the quarterback that processes late. He throws the ball when it's tightly contested, so it forces Keon Coleman to be in those contested looks. I would say Brian Thomas isn't someone that fits that mold, but he does fit the concept of, like, he's 4.3 fast at that height and weight. Mike McDaniel will find a way to get his role going. But again, how many touches are these guys going to actually get this upcoming year? That's going to be a very difficult question, especially with all the touches that are going to Tyreek Hill, going to Waddle, and going to that running back room. Makes the question, hey, can we really spend a first round pick on someone that's going to generate 60 catches this upcoming year? Or do we want to take that first round pick and pick a cornerback to obviously develop with Jalen and Fuller? Do we want to take an interior defense lineman, whether it's Byron Murphy or Newton from Illinois, who's just monstrous? Like, these guys aren't top 10 picks, but these are guys that will immediately impact our defensive scheme, and be able to make impacts, especially even at the edge, because obviously you have the two massive injuries, and you did bring in Shaq Barrett, but can he really hold it down for 10 weeks if that's what it takes to get Jalen Phillips up and running?
Hey, you know what's crazy, Jordan? I basically said we were going to go offensive line, defensive lineman, and defensive tackle, when they kicked me out of chats and the spaces, because I feel like, just like you're saying, you get value off a guy like McCaffrey in the latter rounds, or nobody's talking about. Even
what's his kid, the Sidney Rice, the Jerry Rice's kid.
Yep.
There's a bunch of undervalued talent. Is there a guy nobody's talking about too much that you can see in the latter rounds, not even in the you know how people say he's a third round gem, like in the latter parts, and nobody's talking about that could come in here and work out for this offense?
I'm trying to think. I think an interesting prospect, if you guys want some size, is Jalen Coker. He's from Holy Cross, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would be like the day three gem that, like, not gem. I wouldn't project him to be like real impact, but a guy that can fulfill a wide receiver three role and do things that other receivers on your team currently aren't capable of. And again, right now, the way that you guys were able to piece together the roster with Wilkins departing, with a ton of the other guys going out. Like, I love the Jordan Brooks signing. Like, he's a significant upgrade over Baker, in my opinion. Kendall Fuller is just a very, very, very dependable corner that the Ravens utilized very well this past season. Jordan Poyer, obviously, replacing Brandon Jones. Like, there's nothing – like, you guys don't have to make a single pick onto – like, we have to fill this need desperately. It's like, we have a roster kind of set. Who's going to be able to make an impact maybe right away for us? Obviously, the offense line, you can never go wrong. Plenty of guys that can be useful at this pick. I think the offensive tackle draft is crazy. Like, it's probably one of the best tackle drafts we've had in a decade. And I think personally, from my opinion of me scouting these wide receivers, this is the best wide receiver class we've ever had. I know that Odell class was crazy talented. I can't say I watched everything at the level of knowledge that I have now, but the wide receivers in this upcoming draft are extremely talented. The fifth wide receiver this year would have graded higher than the number one wide receiver last year, in my opinion.
Yeah, a big part of the reason why a lot of us are high on the wide receiver talk now is there's a world in which Tyreek Hill could possibly age out, you know, maybe lose some of that athleticism as he gets into his 30s, later in his 30s, you know, the next couple of years, that contract is not necessarily shored up. So, like, I mean, there's some things there that could possibly leave some room for somebody to be brought in and possibly be the future with the Jalen Waddle if you're going to commit a lot of money to him. Or if you plan on committing money to both of them, it's going to be hard to get a high-impact free agent. There's some talk about Tyler Boyd and Odell Beckham being added into the equation, and those guys are going to be, you know, significant additions. So, I mean, if you're going to put money into the wide receiver room, then cool. And then I think that probably lessens the need to go round one for that guy. But if they just so happen to kind of like try to see what happens and see how the board plays, like a Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, some of these guys, a Leggett could be an extremely intriguing add to this current, you know, litany of talent that we already have on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many ways that it can go. And then Tyreek has this off the field issues. Are those going to continue? Are they going to worsen? I think these are all things that the team may be, you know, considering when talking to wide receivers. So,
yeah, no, I think again, Greer has the opportunity to just pick BPA. I think you guys letting Christian Wilkins walk in free agency just tells you, hey, we're paying Waddle. Like, Waddle's going to be paid. But then it's like, all right, what does Jalen Phillips look like? Like, how does this year end up working out for him, just in a really tough spot type position for him? But at the receiver position, yeah, this class, like, you could possibly get a guy you would take in the top 5th or 12, 13 at your pick at receiver. And if you have that opportunity, like, again, Xavier Worthy is the one that stands out for everybody, just because, I don't know, I look at that with him, Waddle, and Tyreek Hill and three wide receiver sets and say, how do you defend it? Like, I don't know how I would have corners line up to be able to cover all three of these guys and the element of speed that they bring. And honestly, it would probably lessen the need to pay for offensive linemen if these guys are just running all over the place quicker than any other team has the ability to do.
Jordan, I got a quick question. What exactly is DFS for the people out there who are just watching?
So DFS is Daily Fantasy Sports, is what it stands for. It's different from your fantasy football because it's weekly. So I'll be playing in a contest on, you know, Sunday for just the 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. games, where you pick quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, tight end, flex position, which is your running back, wide receiver, tight end, in a defense, and you everybody has the same salary, or like you have $50,000
baked
dollars.
Yeah, like a budget. Yeah,
yeah, budget, and then you know your Tyreek Hill is $9K. So like fording Tyreek Hill is really hard, and you get, you know, different guys at different price points. Obviously, your Mahomes will be in the 7K range, Tyreek Hill 9K, Saquon 8K. Like, you got to be able to pick your lineup, correlate it, and kind of play. I've been playing DFS since I was 18, which 2016. And the first ever contest that I not won, I came in second. It was a $2 lineup that I turned into $4,000 because wow. of Cameron Artis Payne. As a Carolina Panthers fan, that was very fun. That's the first ever hit that I had. It was the day that Cam Newton got benched for not wearing a tie, I think it was, by Ron Rivera. And I think it was, who's the back? Derek Anderson started for us. Derek Anderson, and yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew goal line back would be Cameron Artis Payne. So I just played him and he scored 3 touchdowns. And the contest I was playing had 100,000 entries. And only, I think it was 7% of them had Cameron Artis Payne. So jeez, it was a fantastic day for me.
So does that you know, like kind of like join with this Roto Grind thing that you got going on?
Yeah. So for Roto Grinders, I'll be doing the same thing for college football. College football is where I had my biggest hit. It was $90 to 65K.
Whoa.
I came in first, third, fifth, 12th, and I think like 18th. On just again 5 lineups, it was all stacked onto UCF and Memphis. And on top of that, I played this running back Letty Brown. He went to West Virginia. He had 200 rushing yards at halftime, and then I was able to get actually Treylon Burks was in my lineup at Arkansas, and it was like his first week back from being injured. And he scored like 35 DraftKings points.
Wait, so am I hearing that correct? How much was that you said?
$90 to 65K. That's my biggest one,
bro. I it's crazy because a buddy of mine, when this thing first started, DraftKings, they had a party at a place I used to work at, and it's literally like finding penny stocks to boom. It's insane, man. That's dope, man. That's what's up.
Appreciate it. Yeah, no, it was that day. I'll never be able to forget. Like sadly, it was a time period where my grandma got sick. So like I called my dad and be like, hey, like, you want good news? Like, I, you know, don't know what's going on. And he's like, yeah, we could all use good news. And I told him, and then you heard my uncle in the back drop an F-bomb saying, what did you win? And it was a bright moment. And it was even funnier because I called my boss and he's like, so are you leaving? And it was like peak COVID. So I was like, wow. No, I'm just going to work. Like,
wow.
What else am I going to do? He's like, are you sure? You're not leaving? Not celebrating? I'm like, I can't do anything.
So, in retrospect, that's the best time to win some money because you're gonna save it, yep, and be smart with it. It's great. It's the best time.
I think the first thing I did was pay off student loans. That was the very, very first thing.
That right there is perfect. That's the dream. That is the dream.
Yes.
Is there any guy that might pop off the screen? And it could be at any specific position.
Yeah. Again, my expertise is probably receivers. That's where I'd realm of like, this is the guy. It's Malik Washington from Virginia. He had the first game of the season, he had like 60 yards. And then he had 100 yards, or I think it was 90 or 100 yards in every single game after that. The dude's electric. There's nobody in the class that can run and out and up better than him. He's got, like, at his size, he breaks tackles with ease, it looks like. It's kind of shocking because he's not big at all. And what the Miami Dolphins have done these last 2 years, people are going to steal your motion. Like, they're going to steal what Tyreek Hill does pre-snap, what Jalen Waddle does pre-snap. That's the type of player with Malik Washington to be able to do it. He's a bigger version of like Khalif Raymond, where Khalif Raymond, what he does in Detroit, where he's the speed guy, yada, yada. I think Malik Washington, for me, I look at a guy and I'm like, okay, like you can emulate a lot of what teams struggle with you guys. It's not quite the same, but you see it with the Rams. The Rams took your motion during the season last year. like what they do with Puka and Tutu and Cooper Kupp, like a lot of that is the same stuff you guys are doing with Tyreek, Waddle, even like Braxton Berrios and some of the other guys.
Is there a DK-esque kind of player in this draft, body frame like that, with that kind of a maneuverability?
I mean, the big three. the big three with Marv, Odunze, and Malik. Malik doesn't obviously have that type of size, but obviously Brian Thomas, I guess, would be the next one because you need the speed. But BT, like Brian Thomas is a freak as a receiver position. There's so much that he has to learn. I think Brian Thomas would be perfect in a DK Metcalf route plan where you're just curl routes, go routes, post early on, and then you start to see him develop over the middle and do little things. If the Chiefs find their hands on Brian Thomas, the NFL is going to be in for some trouble.
Well, what are your thoughts on Legette? Do you think he fits that mold as well somewhat, or what do you think? What are your thoughts on him?
He's more raw than that. Legette is, again, he's more like A.J. Brown-esque, where I want him to develop just the little suddenness to him. I think Legette's going to be a good pro. I think everybody that's kind of like, oh, he broke out in his fifth year, I don't care. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, what, we have to look at players for what they are now, not what they were 4 years ago. I don't really care what you were 4 years ago. It doesn't really affect me in the slightest. So Legette would be a guy that I want him in Carolina. That's just my my little take. I obviously, as a Panthers fan, I think he would fit really well with us. I think with the Chiefs, I mean, they might be more interested with what's going on with Rashee Rice, because that's kind of the role that I think Legette would fit well in early on in his career. So if the Chiefs want to go receiver again in the first, to kind of the same situation they were just 4 years ago with Tyreek Hill, where they took Mecole Hardman in the first round because he had a lot of legal troubles, they might be doing the same with Rashee Rice.
They might have to, Jordan.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. They might not have a choice.
No.
Before we get out of here, Jordan, I definitely want to thank you for your time. Appreciate you coming through, talking ball with us. Last one for you. Adonai Mitchell, he's getting a bit of a bad rap on his effort, on why he's not getting the ball and things like that. There was some inconsistency with the drops early on. What are your thoughts on him, and what are you working on over at Roto Grinders?
So, Adonai Mitchell, I don't blame him whatsoever for this effort, lack of effort. If you've watched the Texas offense, the amount of times that he's getting open or the like, the play, he is designed to be the one that gets the ball, and the amount of times that Quinn Ewers can't throw it to him or Malik Murphy just is incapable of giving him an accurate ball, like, it shows. And at the end of the day, I think effort's just coaching. How much do you respect your coach in these instances? How much do you respect the players around you to actually go out and do that? Like, the effort thing, like, it could it carry into the NFL? Sure. But I think the effort levels of different players change when they're put in situations that encourage them to be better. Like, we've seen the locker room change between what you guys previously had to what Mike McDaniels brought. Mike McDaniels, a nerdy dude. Like, he's very, very different than the modern day, like, rah, rah, rah football coach. Like, but he connects with players because players seem to genuinely think he cares. And like, they hear him and they see what he's building offensively, and they're like, this dude's crazy, but I respect it. Same thing with like the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahans. Those coaches connect with players in different ways. For whatever reason, I'm assuming Adonai Mitchell didn't connect with the coaches like that, or didn't have that same respect level. And again, I don't like to talk negatively on these players coming in from that level because I don't personally know any of these guys. But I will say with Adonai Mitchell, I think the lack of effort stemmed from the lack of consistent play at the quarterback position, because I can't believe that Quinn Ewers is still starting. Like, I would be shocked if Arch Manning doesn't see the field this upcoming year. But as far as what I'll be doing at Roto Grinders, it's I'll be producing a lot of college football content with them this upcoming year, breaking down the main slate from FanDuel to DraftKings, providing a lot of my plays, and I believe I'll be writing some sort of NFL article, probably on some of these receiver props, because when they finally got us the Hard Rock in South Florida, I was able to have some alternate lines that did pretty well. think my most notable one was hammering Brandon Ayuk's over against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think he went for 160 and then actually touted Desmond Ridder and Drake London against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think in like 3 weeks later, where Drake London went for like 170 yards receiving. So receiving props and college football work will be a lot of what I'll be doing over at Roto Grinders.
Well, listen, thanks again, Jordan, for joining us. Appreciate all your info. Everybody out there is watching. Make sure you follow him and give this man some love. He's courteous enough to get some time on a Tuesday night with everything going on.
Appreciate you guys for having me.
Hey, man, thank you, Jordan. We appreciate you, man.
Yep.